I want you to take your Bibles tonight. We're going to go to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations together. And Lamentations is back in the Old Testament where the dust has settled and where oftentimes our pages stick together because we haven't opened them in those minor prophets. I'm just teasing. We're going to go to Lamentations chapter 3. Excuse me. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21, and we're going to be in 21 and 26 tonight. We're going to read through to verse number 26, okay? The Bible says in Lamentations 3, 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I to hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him." My verses on the screen are all messed up. You're just going to have to follow in your Bible. Ready? Let's see here. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's right. And we look at this text tonight and we see that it is the nature of God's faithfulness that brings hope to man. So often we hope that in the alleviation of circumstances, we hope in the alleviation of the consequences or of the word I'm thinking of is right on the tip of my tongue, but we are looking to have the situation we are in change. We are looking to have the storm cease. We are looking to have our consequences stop. We are looking to have everything around us change. And what we really need is we need to look unto the Lord, find our hope in him, and recognize that it is the faithfulness of the Lord that we firmly cling to. It is the faithfulness of the Lord that we really truly connect to. I was having a conversation at the end of the second service here this morning, and I hope you won't mind, but I was talking to Brother Hancock's father, and I'm guessing that's Brother Hancock. And so I was having a conversation with Brother Hancock here at the back of the auditorium, and he made a simple statement to me. He said, "Preacher, he's visiting from Iowa, and we're talking, and he says, you know, preacher, this whole COVID-19 thing has given me such great opportunities to witness for Christ." I love that. I think it's exciting to me when somebody can take circumstances like these and turn them into opportunities to witness for Jesus. I think it's wonderful. And right there in that spot, in about 19 seconds, he rattled off three different verses about the sovereignty of the Lord. I don't have to be afraid because my body is under his control and it's in his sovereign care. I don't have to be afraid because my body belongs to him. I don't have to be afraid because he numbers my days. I don't have to be afraid. And he just rattled off scripture after scripture after scripture. And I just stood there with my mouth just dropped. I thought that was amazing. And he truly did. He went through all of these verses of hope, and every one of those verses, he knew, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fall apart. And he is exactly right. And as we were standing there, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The sovereignty of God shatters a culture of fear. You see, when the world around us is screaming, "Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid," it's someone who recognizes that God is sovereign. He can protect me. He can watch over me. He can shield me. And if he doesn't, I die and go to heaven anyway. And all of that, to know that my God is sovereign and my God is faithful, gives me permission to ignore fear. I don't have to be afraid. We don't have to panic. We don't have to run around and pull our hair out. And by the way, it's not just a COVID-19 thing. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of what tomorrow holds. We recognize that our promotion and our demotion is in the hand of the Lord. Our days are numbered. He knows us and he loves us. He knows even the hairs on our head. God has sovereign control. And we knowing that God is in control allows us to let go of fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to panic. We don't have to freak out. And I just loved this wonderful testimony from a servant of the Lord who just in a few seconds could rattle off scripture. And the one thing he placed his hope in over and over and over again was God is in control. You see, if we are in control, we should be afraid. If God is in control, I have no permission to be afraid. God has got this. And I love that it's the faithfulness of our Lord, the sovereignty of our Lord, the control, the faithfulness of our Lord that we lean on the most. I want to consider tonight, what does it mean when we say God is faithful? What does it mean when you and I say that God is faithful? Understand that in the faithfulness of God is a subset. It's built on the doctrine that we call immutability. Don't glaze over on me, okay? It's Bible study time. You can go ahead and stay engaged with me. Immutability simply means that God never changes. That's all that means. That immutability is that God never changes. So when we say God is faithful, he's going to be there for you tomorrow just like he was there yesterday, we talk about the faithfulness of God. That's very practical. God will always engage with you the same way every time. He'll always hate sin. He'll always love sinners. He'll always hate what the broken, fractured, false religious system does to those who follow it. And he will always love pure of heart people that chase after Jesus. It's just the plan. God isn't going to change. He's not going to change and be one thing 2,000 years ago and then change 2,000 years from now and be something else. God is faithful. It is built on that old dusty doctrine of immutability. In other words, God won't change, so therefore he's faithful. God was faithful yesterday. He will never stop being faithful. So when we talk about him being faithful, we're talking about his immutability, his inability to change. Because God is immutable, we know that he will be unchangeable. Now, consider what Scripture says, right? Scripture says, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and verse number 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." To 1,000 generations. That's amazing. Not 1,000 years. No, no, no. 1,000 generations. A generation is what, 25-year period or something like that? 1,000 of those. God is saying, listen, I am going to be the same keeper of my commandments and promises that I was today. You'll find me in 25,000 years, I'll be the same guy. I will be the same exact creator. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to be different. I am immutable. That's powerful. God is giving us a promise that he will never, ever change. This is the very testimony of Scripture. Psalm 102, verse 25 and through 27, Numbers 23, 19, Malachi 3, 6, James 1, 17, all of these are the promise declaration that God will not change. You don't have to use your own experiences as proof. You can have the very concrete proof of God's word. He will not change. To change in any way would mean that God would have to change for the better, which if you're God, you don't get to become any better. Where would he grow to? Or that you have to change for the lesser. God will not give up his throne. God is not going to step down from the greatness he is. And so, because God cannot increase to something and God will not decrease to something, he is static. He is unchangeable. This is the faithfulness of God. By the way, that is what underpins God's faithfulness. If we talk about God's faithfulness, it is to know that he will never shrink, he will never increase, he will stay the same. That is a beautiful thing in our culture because everything changes. Everything changes. Everyone changes. Somebody can give you a promise today. They've changed their mind by tomorrow. Somebody can stand before their friends, family, and God himself, promise to be married to an individual forever, and in 10 years change their mind and walk away from it. You would build an entire life on that one promise. It can be changed that fast. What is that? Man changes. We change our mind, we change our opinion, we change our thoughts, and even when it is wrong to do so, man will change. God never does. He never changes. Some of us have built our lives on weaker promises than God is offering for anyone who will build their life on his promises. God is faithful. That's what this means. God is faithful. So, what makes God unchangeable? Well, he's unchangeable because he is self-existent, right? That's the word Lord. The word Lord in Scripture, when you find it, especially in the Old Testament, the word Lord means self-existent one. It means the uncreated. That's literally what the word Lord means. It means capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, simply means no one created the Lord. No one created God. No one was there causing God to happen, okay? So because of that, what we find is that since God is free from all causes, then he is unchangeable. Because you can't influence God, because there's no one greater than God to influence him. There's no one above God giving him orders and commands. He is not changing for anyone because he did not have a cause. There is no cause that will influence him. Now, he can keep his promises. He is, as God, he is able to make the decision to hear your prayers and maybe even change the way he was going to do something, but that's not someone causing it. That is his choice to move in the way of the prayer. That's simply God's choice. That is not the same as being influenced, okay? The idea of getting on an elevator, if I got on an elevator and I hit the fifth floor, I punch the button for the fifth floor, then I get on the elevator and now I make it to the fifth floor and I walk off of the elevator, I've made that choice. If I get on the elevator and then 82 other people get on the elevator with me and I decide to get off on the second floor and walk, I had been influenced by the packed crowd inside the elevator who are obviously not following the social distancing guidelines, and they pushed me off of the elevator. Now I am being influenced. You see, there's nothing around God that pressures him into an action. He chooses. He makes choices. And so if he gets off on the second floor, if he gets off on the fifth floor, it is all by his own volition. If you and I get pressured and pushed into something, that is because we are movable. We can have an outward cause force us to do something even against our will. And so we see, since God has no cause, he has no outward action making an influence on him, he can then be, as self-existent, unchangeable. He can be unchangeable. God is also unchangeable because he's infinite. He is free from limitations. In other words, there's no limitation to God. There's no timeline on God. There's no run out of time. You and I, we have that. We have tendency in our, especially in our day and age. I've walked through with some older gentlemen. I've walked through with them that what is called the midlife crisis. You know, where they've taken a survey over their life. They don't like what they've come up with, and so they begin to change themselves in some pretty drastic ways to come up with different reactions to themselves to get a better result at the end. And so that we've seen that process happen before. God has never had a midlife crisis, because when he gets to the middle of his life, who's going to know? No one's going to know when God reaches midlife, because there's no end life. God doesn't have a hurry up on his end. If he wants to take all day, all he has is all days. That's all he's got. He's got the rest of his existence is eternal. Because God has no limitations, he has nothing hurrying him up. He has nothing slowing him down. He has no limitations there. I was going to make a joke about a wife getting ready for dinner there with nothing hurrying him up, but I won't. The reality is that God has nothing speeding him along. I am, yes, for those of you online, I am getting this head shake right now. There's nothing speeding God up. There's nothing slowing God down. There are no limitations on him. And because of this, God is unchangeable. So God, in his faithfulness, is built on the doctrine that he is unchangeable. His unchangeable nature is built on who he is. He is self-existent, and he is infinite. He has no limitations. So then, why does it matter that God is faithful? Why should you and I worry about faithfulness? Because if you and I, without a clear view of God's faithfulness, you and I begin to be plagued with problems. You and I are plagued with problems when we get our eyes off of God's faithfulness. Consider some of those problems that Scripture discusses that can lead to issues in our life, right? One of those problems is we become plagued by sins that we cannot overcome. When we take our eyes off the faithfulness of God, all of a sudden, defeating sin becomes insurmountable. It's larger than us. It's bigger than us. We're not able to beat it. And so you find Christians who literally are bound by sin for an entire lifetime. And one of the main reasons is because they forget that when they're not faithful, God is. When they're not able, God is. And so even Scripture would teach us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Understand here, you defeating sin is not about your faithfulness to God. Think about that, because we get it backwards. We think defeating sin is about us doing something for God, and then when we don't defeat it, we come to the altar, we feel miserable, we feel horrible, we feel bad, and we say, God, I'm sorry I wasn't big enough to defeat the sin. And God's saying, I know you're not. I didn't think you were. Why were you trusting in your faithfulness? I'm the faithful one. The faithful one is God himself. He's being faithful so that you can defeat sin. We think that sin, defeating sin, is based on us. It is only because we think it's us that we keep falling. God is the one who is faithful. So consider what Scripture says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. By the way, this verse has gotten so twisted and misconstrued and bent out of shape. People say, well, God won't ever put me through something I cannot handle. That's not true at all, okay? That's not scriptural in any stretch. Stephen was stoned to death because he declared the name of Jesus. You know what Stephen could not handle? A rock in the face. He couldn't do it. His body gave out under the pounding of stones until there was a pile of rocks on top of his body. He died because he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, there are martyrs down throughout centuries, a literal red trail of blood from believers who gave up their lives because they would not bend to tyrants. They would not turn. They would not fold. They stayed true to the truth. And in so doing, they found out that God was faithful even when he gave them something they could not handle. This text is not teaching that God will never give you something you cannot handle. That's some rapper, perverse, you know, twisted idea of what God has actually said, and they've bent it all out of shape, and they've made it sound like God said something he's never said. God will definitely give you things you cannot handle. That's pretty much all he does. Because the moment you think you can handle it, you'll actually try. Instead of recognizing everything is outside of your control, you must trust Jesus. You've got to. So everything is outside of your control. This passage is saying God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. In other words, you're not going to face a temptation you can't defeat through the power of Jesus Christ. There is no temptation that's going to come after you that through Christ you cannot defeat. There's none. And this passage is simply saying, if you wish to defeat sin, trust in the faithfulness of God. You have the ability to leave sin. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You may be able to bear it. Now, we get ourselves twisted. People think, well, okay, so God's plan is for me to escape the problem, and then I won't have to face the temptation. That's not what this text says either. What he's saying is the way of escape is Jesus Christ. It is the faithfulness of God. You are leaning fully and completely on the Lord Jesus. We are to push away from temptation. The Bible says, flee also youthful lusts. We move away from temptation. We don't move towards temptation, but recognize that God is desiring to make believers who are victorious, not believers who are too afraid of their own shadow to walk into temptation. You can deal with temptation, not on your own. It's bigger than you because God has promised to give you stuff you cannot handle, but he will with it make a way to escape. He has given you the opportunity of escape. What is it? To bear it up under the faithfulness of our Father. We have to recognize that it's God's faithfulness that allows us to defeat sin, not our faithfulness to him, and not some twisted idea that God won't give you something you can't handle. That's baloney. He definitely will give you something you can't handle. He will teach you through that that you must surrender it to him because he's the only one who can handle it. It's meant to draw you closer to God, not relying more on yourself. That's why he puts these situations in our life that are harder for us than we can bear alone. So then, the second reason, if we don't have a faithful God, or if we're not keeping our eyes on the faithfulness of God, we're plagued by sins we can't overcome, and we're unsure of the forgiveness of God when we do fail. We often think that God can't forgive us, and we come up with things in our minds that say, you know, well, if I sinned as often as you did or as grievously as you did, I wouldn't be able to forgive me, so God can't forgive me. Well, of course you couldn't forgive you. You're a sinner, and you're not righteous, and you're not holy, and you're not wise, and you're not eternal. God is all of those things that you are not. Therefore, you can't trust on your faithfulness. You have to trust in his. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. My friend, if you are wallowing in doubt about the forgiveness of God, you are counting him unfaithful. It has nothing to do with your shame. It has nothing to do with your guilt. It has nothing to do with you still having a pity party. It has everything to do with the fact that you don't believe God is faithful. God's word has declared he is faithful. If you're wallowing around in self or in doubt of your forgiveness, you're counting God unfaithful. It is a faith issue. You're not giving God his due merit. He is faithful to forgive. You can confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive it. There are entire Christian movements built around the idea that you can lose your salvation and you've lost your salvation and God won't forgive and you're past the time of God's forgiveness. All of that, it points to one individual that says they're no longer faithful. God is faithful. It is his faithfulness that allows us to know you can be forgiven. You could walk around knowing your sins are forgiven, even your past ones, even the ones before you were saved, even the ones that you've told nobody about. Those sins are forgivable if you will count God faithful to forgive. That's how it works. I want you to see also, if you don't see God as faithful, you will be discouraged by loneliness. You're going to see yourself all alone. You're going to face every problem by yourself, and you're going to be trying to figure it out like you're all alone in this situation. But the Bible tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, if God is faithful, then you can know you're never alone. If he's not faithful, you're on your own most of the time. But since he is faithful to keep his words, then you and I know we can rest in his presence always with you. You say, wait a second, preacher, I've done some really horrible sins. I don't think he wants to be around somebody that sins like I do. One, you're not hoping in your faithfulness to avoid sin. Number two, you know God is faithful to forgive you your sin. Number three, he's already promised never to leave you, so you're not alone. You see, it's the faithfulness of God that gives us the strength to know that he is doing these things in our life, and you can have that assurance. Then that you will, if you're, I'm bouncing through my computer here. We also, if we don't count God faithful, we'll be discouraged by our own failures. We'll fail, which is, we can totally count on your failure. We can count on my failure. When you fail, if you don't see God as faithful, it will discourage you. It will challenge your very ability to get up and keep following after Christ. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:13, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Even when we're not believing, even when we're not practicing faith, he's still faithful. He cannot deny himself. Can I tell you, God won't deny himself. Even when you've been doubtful in your faith, even when you haven't trusted God, you say, preacher, you know what? I fell in sin a few months ago and I kept going because I didn't think he could forgive me. I was discouraged and I didn't have faith. So because I didn't have faith, do you think that he'll go and forgive me? My friend, the Bible says he abides faithful even when you're not. His faithfulness is a reminder that you're not faithful and you can trust him in his faithfulness. He cannot deny himself. My friend, he is faithful. That's who our God is. Then what happens in the life of a believer that does not count God as faithful? They become tortured by fear. They're tortured by fear. Psalm 121, verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Can I tell you tonight, you do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. Just as my brother over here at the end of this service this morning, he knew God was sovereign. If God is sovereign and God is faithful and he is in control, I do not need to fear. You don't need to fear about tomorrow. Well, what happens if I get in a horrible car accident and everything falls apart? Huh? My whole life is ruined. And what if it doesn't? You cannot lead your life by fear. We as children of God are allowed to believe that God has it all in his care and in his control. And if he has it in his care and in his control, we can trust him. I tell you tonight, there are many who wrestle with God because they do not trust him. And because they do not count him faithful, they are wrestling with a God that is not in the Bible. And they have created a God in their own mind, one who is not faithful and one who is not real. My friend, I tell you, God is faithful. He's unchangeable. And in his faithfulness, you can conquer fearful thoughts. You can conquer doubts. You can conquer all of those inner voices that tell you lies all day long. But you cannot do it by self-help talk. It is done through the reminder of the truth of who God is and how God feels towards you. And if those two things are present in the mind of a Christian, there is no self-help talk that can defeat what that reality can do for you. In other words, the world offers this, you've got this, you're going to make it, it's going to be okay, and they're trying to pump up how you feel. Just simply accepting what God's word says about who God is and what God thinks about you allows you all the assurances you need to defeat sin and to walk in victory. My friend, I encourage you tonight, let's speak truth about who God is and what he's doing, and let's enjoy the peace of mind that it brings.